What's going on? Is that dude Daryl Taylor? I'm Justin Valentine. AEW Dynasty, a brand new world champion. Jack Perry is back in AEW. And in WWE, Becky Lynch, your women's world champion. It's time to roar around the ring. All right, AEW Dynasty in St. Louis. Shout out to the crowd there. Sold out crowd.
It's a sellout.
You'll take it, right? It's a smaller venue. Someone sent me, shout out to Janelle here at WRIF.
Friend of the show,
big time friend. And he sent me, there's something different between pay-per-views and the TV show. It's like a brand new company.
Yes.
And it's every pay-per-view, because Revolution was amazing in March. And then everything between Revolution and Dynasty are like dragging. And then Dynasty delivers.
Well, given the I can't even think of the proper word to say, but the amount of excitement invested in, especially in the last hour and a half of this show, this crowd stayed like on fire for it, which was really great to see.
A lot of videos posted on social media before they even went live for the kickoff or 0 hour, and before the actual pay-per-view started, the crowd was lined up outside the venue. They were loud inside the venue. So they had a lot, like you said, the final 90 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
Still a little too long, by the way.
A little bit.
It's a Sunday night. We're pushing midnight. You know what I mean? It's a four-hour show. Like, that is the one thing that these pay-per-views to this day still struggle with AEW. You don't need everybody, especially because we have more pay-per-views.
Right. I mean, and I'm speaking, and we'll get to it later, in more specifics, but for the crowd to maintain that kind of up on their feet attitude and energy following Ospreay and Danielson.
Right.
It was a lot of work. It was asking a lot, and they delivered.
They did. They kept the two biggest stories, right? Not necessarily the matches. Matches were good.
Yeah.
But the two biggest stories after what was obviously bound to be the match of the night in Ospreay and Danielson, which it was. One of those stories, Swerve Strickland, your new AEW world champion. It is officially Swerve's house.
It is.
In AEW. Beating Samoa Joe. No shenanigans. No one got involved. They just ended with a celebration for Swerve. Are you surprised by this move?
I like half and half. I am, but I'm not. And I know that I had said in the last episode that I don't know if it's a time to give him the championship right now. But he got it, and I don't feel like it was a bad move.
No, I thought the only reason why I was surprised by this, it's not a knock on Swerve. We've been talking about Swerve in the world title picture for a while now. It's more of the story with it, and we'll talk a little more about it in a little bit, but with Adam Cole.
Right.
I mean, that's where
I'm going with it.
Right. He showed up earlier in the show. He got up, no physical activity, but he's walking now, which leads us to believe he's close to returning, which leads us to believe he could be ready for Double or Nothing. The biggest story for Undisputed Kingdom outside of MJF, who is still not with the company, is Samoa Joe.
Right.
And it's not just Samoa Joe. It's Samoa Joe in that world title. Wardlow failed to get it. Adam Cole had to deal with Samoa Joe. Adam Cole never got his title shot. You thought at some point we were going to follow through. Is Adam Cole Swerve Strickland the way you go now? Or do you still keep Samoa Joe in either story?
I feel like there's still loose ends to tie up with Adam in regards to Adam Cole. I mean, the Wardlow thing, Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
It just feels like they created a story. They had a story with Samoa Joe. They created one with Wardlow, which doesn't seem like it's got its exact final ending on it yet. And now it's just like, well, does he just bypass all that and go straight to Swerve? It just seems very unfinished and kind of jolty.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that AEW has to realize adding more pay-per-views, because we no longer have 3 months until the next pay-per-view.
Right.
Right? We're more WWE-style scheduling. Next pay-per-view's in a month, right? You need to build to Double or Nothing within the next month, whether it's Adam Cole Swerve, Samoa Joe Adam Cole, all three, maybe they do a three-way. Do you feel like Samoa Joe's title run got cut short?
You know what? I don't want to say yes, because he actually did have some title defenses that were quality.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can't call him a transitional champion, and you can't say that, oh, he only had it for a month or two. He had it since December, ending December. He had nearly 4 month reign?
Right.
Not bad.
Yeah.
It's an average title reign. I mean, maybe in this day and age, if it's not 2 years, it's too short. But I don't think it was fine. I don't think it was cut too short.
Yeah, and I feel like the fact that we have talked about we don't want long champions, and AEW, MJF had it for a long time. You mentioned it. He had it since, the end of December. We're talking 4 months there. Again, repeating ourselves here, but shorter title reigns story makes sense, it's effective, right? It gets more people involved. It keeps more people relevant. We don't need those Roman Reigns, MJF title reigns. So in terms of the title reign, I'm good with it. In terms of the story, again, I just thought we were getting Adam Cole and Samoa Joe at some point. I love Swerve getting this moment,
right?
And I feel like this was an example of Tony Khan realizing how popular Swerve is and hot-shotting him past all the mid-card titles and straight to the world title.
Which makes sense. I mean, given his popularity, the crowd can buy into it. It's not a case of Tony Khan likes Swerve Strickland and he's forcing everyone else to like him. It's the crowd organically chose this dude to be a main eventer.
Yeah.
And they got rewarded at Dynasty with that.
Yeah, but I feel like you could have done a Swerve Strickland Adam Copeland thing and put the TNT title on him and it would have been just as effective.
You could have.
Samoa Joe and Adam Cole, that story needs to be told for the world title. And whether it's a three-way or Adam Cole just moving on to Swerve, that story is going to feel unfinished. And if Samoa Joe and Adam Cole have a story that isn't involving the title, that feels unfinished. Yeah. I mean, the only route could be a three-way.
I mean, you're right. And that's why I said, asking, like, do I feel it was the wrong move? Do I feel it was too quick? I'm kind of on the fence. And I know that's like a cop-out answer, but I'm kind of on the fence with it because I'm happy to see Swerve as champion.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was the route that you had to take right now.
How much you want to dive into Adam Cole and Wardlow? Because Adam Cole had his eyes on Wardlow. Wardlow didn't realize this, but kept kind of staring him down while walking. And it seems as if that's a story they want to tell, but how much?
That's what I'm saying. How much do you dive into that? Because that's a whole detour from... We took a detour from a story with the Undisputed Kingdom and the Devil Reveal and the world title to go with this Wardlow thing. And it's like, we didn't even address the initial story.
Right.
So I just... You can go there if you're going to break Wardlow off into his own and have him have a legit, actual focused singles run.
Yeah.
But if you're going to just do it to where it serves for the purpose of him falling out of favor, or falling off of TV, or just getting back in the group and being a henchman for Adam Cole, I don't know if I really need to see anything in that.
No, and it's something we've said about this Wardlow story before. If they go that route in depth, if we see Wardlow versus Adam Cole at Double or Nothing, we are literally beat by beat repeating his story with MJF.
Yes.
Right? Because that's exactly, and I'm pretty sure it was Double or Nothing, that those two, when Wardlow finally broke off of MJF and squashed him to open, I believe it was Double or Nothing. I'm sure the internet will correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
But
yell at him.
If I'm wrong, I don't think I am, though. It will literally be a beat-by-beat repeat, and I don't want that. Do I want Wardlow to break off Undisputed Kingdom? Sure. But at that point, Adam Cole needs to be focused on bigger things. Interestingly enough, they also did that segment following the Roderick Strong-Kyle O'Reilly match. And obviously, Kyle O'Reilly has this history with Adam Cole. Had nothing to do with the world title picture, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and Roderick retained, so I don't know.
I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to Undisputed Kingdom. The only thing I know for certain with that group is I want it to be a successful faction. I want it to have a focus and it makes sense because I think it's important to have a group like
Very
that.
Much so. Speaking of important, how about Jack Perry showing up in the ladder match and helping the Young Bucks beat FTR to win those World Tag Team titles? Thoughts on this move? They're really diving into what happened in London.
Yeah.
You like it?
It kind of makes sense with this whole like new elite heel faction they're going with. It fits. I have kind of reservations about it based on, and I'm going to hold those reservations until I see what they do with this.
Yeah. I love it. There's a lot of me that loves it, right? It got a pop out of me when he took the mask off.
Yes.
It really did. And for me, it makes sense, like you said, right? The fact that they showed that footage is what hinders this storyline from being as good as it seems it is, right? The crowd reacted. It got a good reaction from that live crowd. Social media enjoyed it. So there's a lot of good things about it. Jack Perry actually played a heel pretty well before everything went down. But what hinders this is what this situation actually was. First off, you have CM Punk, who is currently a big-time member of WWE, right? Even injured. And as this story goes on, Punk's going to get healthy in the summer and be even more involved. And the fact that this whole story is wrapped around him is what hurts that. And what also hurts this is the fact that we know Tony Khan was punishing Jack Perry for what happened.
Right.
And then using the same thing that he got punished for in a story now. Those two things is what... And the fact that they actually showed the footage on Dynamite, which was idiotic in itself.
I will maintain it was very dumb, very stupid. I believe it was the word I used.
Yes, and that being true to this day is what hinders what is actually a good storyline.
Because it's now this whole angle, this whole angle is based solely on that. Are we building up? So to me, it's like a guy who isn't even in your company anymore is going to serve as the long-term catalyst for your entire Hill group.
Right. And honestly, they're tag champions. They're EVPs. Okada's involved in this. He's still international champion.
Yep.
Continental champion. Sorry. Intercontinental. Yeah. It's a thing.
It's a championship.
It's a champion. He's a champion as well. So that's a very important group. And what is the connection between the Young Bucks and Jack Perry?
CM Punk.
That is the only thing that is like, man, this is so good. Man, this makes sense. But wow, you're really using the other
Punk,
company's
yeah.
guy.
He's like the most omnipotent wrestler.
Yes.
He's everywhere in companies he's not even signed to.
Hey.
It's nuts to me.
But shout out to something, and this used to be a term for Friends, the show. Triple H has his term. It's pivot.
Pivot.
Right, it's his favorite word. He did it with The Rock. They had to do it with the Rhea Ripley situation. This is something Tony Khan did, and I'm going to give him a ton of credit because CM Punk went on the Ariel Helwani interview, and he did what he did. Now, showing the footage was insanely stupid.
Very.
But this, if that never happened, and they maybe just briefly mentioned it on TV
yeah.
and then left it alone, and then what happened at Dynasty, what happened, kudos to you. Because there's no way a month ago that was the plan, right?
I don't think so.
CM Punk is what connected the yeah. Young Bucks and Jack Perry.
CM Punk kicked off this angle.
That's the thing that is
while
crazy
he was,
to me.
While he was newly employed in WWE.
Yes, and he is currently in a huge story with Drew McIntyre. Yeah. He's going to be in the world title picture when he gets back. He's probably going to headline WrestleMania next year
probably.
If he's healthy. Like, the fact that guy who you lost, and again, the other thing that bothers me about this, real life speaking, is, man, you punished. And I feel for Jack Perry. I do. Because Jack Perry got punished for this situation. He kept him off TV. He sent him off to New Japan, but would not.
He banished him to Japan.
He banished him. He would not, like, the contract situation, it's not like they released him like they did Punk.
Right,
right.
Right.
Like, you kept him under contract, but wouldn't put him on TV, sent him to New Japan, and now you're using what you punished him for an angle. As much as if I'm Jack, wrestling is a funny industry. We say that a lot. Yes, use it. You're back on TV. Run with it. But, man, that's a part of me that's like, wait a minute. So yeah. you punished me for this, and now you're using it? So why didn't we just use it way back when?
Tony Khan's a cold man.
Man. But, man, it got a pop out of me.
Ruthless.
Now,
it was a great moment, though. It really was.
Do you think they go as far as to be he's involved, like he's officially a member of the New Elite?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Why not?
I wouldn't go all the way with it. Why
you
not?
Have to. And I think because the one thing that, because Jack Perry played a good heel before he left, the one thing he struggled with was being on his own on the mic.
Yep.
He can be one of the guys standing behind the Young Bucks who aren't that great on the mic all the time, but they're good enough.
It's the collective sums together are very good. So.
Yeah, and they got the arrogant way about him, right? Like, he's got that look.
I mean, even Okada in his match was his heel.
Yo.
That's one thing, and we're not going to dive too deep into that. It was a really awesome match.
It was.
But just his charisma and mannerisms and the way he addresses the crowd, he's so good.
The spot where he flipped off the crowd,
yes.
I'm like.
I was like, oh, chef's kiss.
Beautiful.
Very good.
Shout out to Pac, man. Like, Pac, whatever, the bastard. He's
our
so
bastard.
Good. He's our bastard, damn it. He is so good at making his opponents look good.
Yeah, he really is.
He like, and here's the thing. Like, he's like the Baron Corbin of AEW, right? Because
except I actually want him to win.
It's true, but Baron Corbin has said it 1,000 times in interviews. He, like, someone's got to do it, right?
Oh, exactly.
Someone's got to make these other guys look good. And honestly, being that guy will keep you employed for a long time.
I mean, for all the people that say, oh, Baron Corbin sucks and this guy needs to get fired, blah, blah, blah. First off, don't advocate for someone losing their job.
Yeah.
Secondly, every wrestling promotion since the beginning of wrestling promotions needs what a lot of veteran wrestlers call the good hand.
Yeah.
They need somebody that can go out there, basically have a match with anybody.
Yeah.
Doesn't care about being the one that takes the 1-2-3 pin. They make the superstars look great.
Yeah, that's it. And Pac feels like a more, no offense, Baron. Corbin's a great dude, by the way. Hanging out with him at SummerSlam Media Day, great dude.
I've always heard he's a solid guy. You
we
have
talked,
firsthand
we
experience
We talked a
that,
lot
yeah.
of shit about our football teams because they opened up that last season against each other. It's a great dude. Fun dude. But I say this with all due respect, and he'll probably agree, Pac is a more talented Baron Corbin, right? He really is. You know what I mean? Like, in the ring, right? Like,
well, if you're talking in-ring, yes.
Yeah.
I will concede to that.
In-ring.
But both of them, you know, Baron Corbin, they bring specific things that are very crucial and important to have in any promotion.
Someone has to lose in wrestling, right? Like, just
someone has to
employed,
play the annoying heel, and Baron Corbin does it excellent.
And it's not a heel. Sometimes he's a heel, but Pac does it the same way. He makes his opponent. He hasn't really held a title in AEW,
right.
But man, he's made a lot of people look good because his matches are always so good.
Yep.
A few other things to get through from Dynasty. We mentioned it earlier. Will
Speaking
Ospreay.
Of good.
Yeah. Ryan Danielson, match of the year candidate. Feels like we say that about every Will Ospreay pay-per-view match. We said the same thing with Konosuke Takeshita and Revolution. Huge here.
I mean, honestly, this match, and it's going to sound kind of silly to say, but watching this, I'm thinking, you know, this is already probably match of the year, and I know it's only April, but I'm thinking, who is going to outdo this? Anyone that outdoes this match is probably going to, that match is probably going to involve one of these individuals.
Will Ospreay is amazing, and that word is thrown around very easily by
Not
a lot
that,
of people.
But Bryan Danielson is probably doing the best work of his career.
Big time.
In his like
in-ring
basically
specific?
Last run here.
Yeah. Big time. Everyone looks at, you know, that Daniel Bryan WrestleMania look. He was facing an old Batista and Randy Orton's awesome, but like in an old Triple H. Like the matches, the story was great. We loved him getting his moment, but were the matches fantastic? Nah, I would take his story and his matches with Bray Wyatt before those WrestleMania.
I would take
matches.
A big chunk of his matches he had at AEW over a lot of what he did
big
in
time.
WWE.
And that was, man, it stole the show. It's going to steal the year. I have a hard time. Story-wise, obviously, Cody Roman's probably going to win match of the year just because of
the
meaning
emotional
and the story
standpoint,
behind it and
yeah.
the emotional. But, man, if we're talking just straight wrestling, I don't see
this
anyone beating what those two did.
I don't know how you get much better than this, even to the point where that to the end of the match where they had that kind of standoff in their own corners.
Yep.
And it's like, who's going to hit their move first?
Yep.
Just the build to that, I'm watching like, oh my God, like, yep. Don't end this match yet. Hold on. Give me 5 more minutes.
Well, one thing I want to bring up, and we saw it leading up to the pay-per-view and then at the pay-per-view, Will Ospreay is kind of playing the babyface role of the Don Callis family, mm-hmm. who is obviously, Don Callis is despicable and people hate him. Everyone else in that
as
crew, people hate him as they should. How do you like this so far? Because they haven't really pushed him turning on them yet up until this point in AEW. Are you good with this?
I'm good with it for now because I think that it's going to kind of organically work itself out. And they will put it in a story. And, you know, we all kind of, you know, picked on Will Ospreay and kicked at him for the kind of misguided and stupid comments he made.
Yes.
Very stupid comments, whatever. Right. But
and he kept bringing
aside,
it up in the press conference. Quit. Just
right.
stop talking about
just,
it.
Just let it go, dude. That aside, though, like you said and I say, and everyone's saying he's amazing in the ring.
Yeah.
Probably the best that they have on that roster.
Oh, yeah.
He is going to remain a babyface. He is going to outgrow anything the Don Callis family can offer, and I think it's going to probably be a storyline of them turning on him.
Yeah. The one thing I don't love about that is the fact that, A, he's already faced everyone within the Don Callis family.
Right.
Right? He had a great match with Takeshita, went one-on-one with Kyle Fletcher. Will Hobbs is potentially the other option, right? Is that pay-per-view caliber? The story probably is.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know that they want to, and a lot of people think that, oh, he's got a world title coming this year, right? A lot of people looking at All In London in August. Maybe.
Maybe.
But at the same time, especially because of how much we have going on in the world title picture, he might have to wait just because of happenstance,
well,
right? Because I still... As much as we hate that group and what they've done with it so far, I still think Adam Cole at some point this year is the one to take that title off Swerve. I just do.
Yeah, and I'd be fine with that.
And I'd be fine with that because that group, that would make that group important for a while. And then Ospreay can be the one to take it off Cole. But you're at that point, because you want Swerve to hold it for a minute, at
yeah,
that point,
you don't
you're
want,
probably
you don't
you're
want
looking
Swerve
at early
dropping
2025.
It a month later. Yeah,
right. Like if Cole were to take it off Swerve in September or November, right? And then you have Ospreay come around next March or April and win it. I think that makes sense. So that also means you either need to put mid-card titles on Ospreay or get some solid non-title feuds for the rest of 2024. I mean,
we could always go back to him and Jericho. We could
Shut
do
up.
The FTW one.
Speaking of Jericho.
Because the crowd loved that match so much.
Yeah, by the way, your reaction okay.
Dude.
To that. Because, man.
Please retire. I was like, yo.
That's not heel chance.
Yo. Like
that's not heel chance. That is.
This is like we're tired of you.
Yes.
Go and okay.
Go away. You're not good
I
anymore.
I have been a huge Jericho fan for a very long time. but I am kind of inclined to agree with the audience here. I don't know if I'd be that vitriolic about it, but I think it's time for Chris Jericho to kind of step away.
Well, you have "Please retire" and "Go away, Jericho, go away." Chance, go home. I'm sorry, go home, Jericho.
Yeah,
go home.
It's not the crowd chanting "Rocky sucks" at WrestleMania. This is an entirely different heat.
It's not. Yes, it's not the crowd booing a heel because that's what you're trying to do. This is people don't want to see you anymore. And if ever was the time to use that new word that Tony Khan discovered at Dynasty, pivot.
Pivot.
Pivot in the most Ross way
ever. You're not a fan of the learning tree, Chris Jericho?
It's quit giving him nicknames as if that's a new thing. Now he's the Lionheart, but he's the learning tree. And just because he wears different color trunks.
He's the learning tree heart. Pain-making Lionheart.
I am the pain-making
learning. I am the pain-making Lion Tree.
I am the pain.
And you will respect me as such.
Do you have to wear the pain?
Who is now the FTW.
By the way.
Who? Okay. Yeah. This championship meant nothing in ECW.
Yes.
Back then, it means nothing now. Nope. It is a gimmick championship that Taz gave to his son, who I am a fan of.
Yes.
But it means nothing.
If ever was the time to pivot.
I don't need a feud around this meaningless championship.
If ever was the time to pivot, it's with this Jericho situation. And when I say pivot, I mean Dynamite's in Daly's place this week. Collision's in Daly's place. They love Daly's place in
they
Jacksonville,
really do.
Right?
Daly's
Shout out to the pandemic.
Yeah.
Hey, they made it
happen. They didn't know for though. They held them down during the pandemic.
They really did. They really made it happen there. So, that being said, there is no reason why Hook is not choking out Jericho within a minute
to get
that title back this week.
Do we really need a long, drawn-out feud with this?
No! Choke him out this week, take the title off him, and I don't want to see Jericho on TV for a minute.
No, snap the branches of that tree and let's move
on. Please, man. Don't even grow the tree. Just cut it
down.
Don't
water that bonsai tree, man.
Stop watering it. Leave that tree alone.
Stop it.
All right, last thing real quick from Dynasty. TBS title goes to Willow Nightingale, and just like that, Mercedes Moné gets her title shot against Willow. That'll happen at Double or Nothing. Thoughts on this booking decision with Julia Hart dropping it here, and they automatically announce that match for the next pay-per-view.
I mean, I guess you got to kind of see it was getting to this, just given the history between the two of them. I don't know if I'm a big fan of Julia Hart dropping it and just kind of moving on from her like that, but it is what it is. It's for as much pomp and circumstance as you have bringing in Mercedes Moné, she is going for the secondary women's title.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, so what are we going to do with Toni Storm? Like, I don't know, when are we going to get to that? Is she going to have this championship? Are we unifying championships? What are we doing?
The Toni Storm thing is a good point. You know, Toni Storm retaining against Thunder Rosa. She already beat Deonna Purrazzo. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do? Because she's already going through a lot of the women's division right now. I mean, Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa are very much involved with each other, where you could get away with a triple threat, a Double or Nothing, just to keep Toni busy.
Yeah.
Another option is if and when someone brought up that Adam Cole is wearing yellow and black shoes on Sunday. His wife is from Pittsburgh. Is Britt Baker Stillers. Coming back? Don't forget about Jamie Hayter, right? You could bring those stories back around. What do you do with Saraya now? Because Ruby Soho, shout out to her and Angela Parker.
Yeah. Legit having a family.
By the way, okay, we're going to pivot.
Wait a minute.
Speaking of pivot, I'm so glad we did not dive into that story from Rampage because, man, I was bored with that story. I thought it was dumb. I thought, why are you pairing up Ruby Soho and Angela Parker without having any idea that, oh, wait, they're actually together as of
late
last year.
You told me some days ago, like, do you know they're actually having a baby?
They're actually having a baby.
What?
They've been together since the end of 2023.
Okay.
And, man, up until that moment.
I mean, congratulations.
Congratulations. Big shout out
to you
guys.
It's a beautiful thing.
Love it. But. Man, up until that point, I was bored with that story. I'm like, man, why are they pairing up Angela and Ruby? This is stupid. And I'm like, wait a minute.
It's because they're going to be mama and papa.
Oh, good for them. But that being said, what do you do with Saraya? Saraya, you know what I mean? So, like, there are options for Toni Storm. I'm okay with Mercedes going for
the
TBS title.
She can warm up the baby bottles.
I do love Willow Nightingale getting the TBS title.
Yes.
I do. She deserves that. I'm okay. You know, Mercedes and Willow have a history.
Yeah, there's a story
from
there.
Last
year.
The
story
is there. I like it for that. Shout out to Scott Fishman on Twitter, and I had to retweet it. What happened to the rankings? I love bringing this up.
You know, I saw a lot of that, and I'm just like, why are
how
we
how many matches have Mercedes won?
Why are we
won?
Asking this? I know, right? Because she's had, like, what, 30 matches so far, right?
So far, she's
did we miss all
perfect
those?
Perfect 30-0.
Just a 30-0.
Dark matches.
All dark
what
matches.
What you gonna do, man?
Dark
crazy.
Matches on Rampage.
Every match on Rampage is a dark match. Okay?
Well, hers was darker.
Let's be real.
It was was down in the basement somewhere. No ring, just a bunch of yoga pads. But yeah, no, the ranking system means nothing. It has never meant anything. They tried to make something out of it. But like we said, tell the story.
Yes. Real quick, someone did attack Mercedes Moné a couple weeks ago on Dynamite.
Statlander.
I think it's Chris Statlander. I want to throw just a quick, you know, something at the wall here. Do you think Willow could play a heel if it was her?
I think she could, actually.
Really?
Just give it a chance. I think she could. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay. Her playing heel against Mercedes Moné, who honestly kind of sucks in the baby face.
Yeah. People are going to get sick of her quick in AEW. People kind of already are.
Yeah.
Especially because she hasn't had a match. Somehow she's number one in the rankings. So she hasn't had a match, but she's not good on the mic. That's not a good combination. Because if you're not good in the mic, you better go have some matches. And
you're presenting her like Charlotte Flair.
Yes.
But Charlotte Flair has like had numerous matches. So.
Yes. I think the only way Willow could work as a heel, I do agree Chris Statlander is probably the one, which I'm down for that. I'd love to see a heel stat. But Stokely Hathaway, heel stats.
You said
good.
The thing.
That's good.
You did it. That was you.
That was not
that was
bad.
You. That was you.
You know.
Did you give yourself the champa?
I love it. A little champa. The only thing that would help Willow with being a heel is Stokely Hathaway.
Yeah.
That would help.
Yeah.
Because he could be a despicable, annoying asshole.
Love to boo
that
guy.
Love to boo that guy. He's fantastic.
Not so much as not as much as I like to hate Don Callis, but I like to boo. You know,
Stokely's more of a funny way. Don is like you genuinely get annoyed. Like,
yeah,
shut
it's
up.
Like, even your stupid shoes.
Yeah, and like, oh, I can't ever get over the fact of what MJF said that scar looks like on his forehead, and now every time, and I'm not going to repeat it, because I am a gentleman. But man, it's hard not to think about that every
Our
time I see
him. Our boss
is
probably out there listening, so don't say
I'm not going to repeat it. I'm not going to repeat it. Well, it's fantastic. And he's
we want to bring
on.
You another episode, so
it's
you know.
Spot on. let's get through some WWE headlines before we get out of here. Becky Lynch is your Women's World Champion, winning the Battle Royal on Raw. You like this decision?
I'm going to say something that's probably going to hurt your feelings.
Go ahead.
I'm not excited about it, but.
Okay.
But.
Okay.
And not excited about it, I mean it being Becky winning the title. Okay. Pronouns, pal.
That's fine.
use your words.
Use your words. You're doing great.
Use your vowels. Yeah. Sound it out. Take your time. So, shut up.
Will you keep this in the show? Don't you dare edit
don't
this
edit that out.
Go ahead.
On. I'm going to write over my own words again so I can know. So, anyway. So, I'm not, like, super stoked about Becky being champion because I kind of saw it. And then, like, her entrance was really cool.
Yeah, I loved it.
But I'm like, oh, so she's going to win. And I know a lot of people were like, they should have let Liv win because of Rhea. And I'm like, yeah, but how much mileage are you really going to get out of Liv? We've seen her as champion under different circumstances, and it's not really – it's like a thing where it's like, we all want Sammy to win the world title from Roman. Okay, if he won it, then what?
Right.
Then there's nowhere to go but down.
I think there's a lot you could do with Liv Morgan.
I am not
a fan of Becky Lynch winning it here. I'm a huge fan of Becky Lynch. I don't think it makes any sense.
No.
She just lost to Rhea at WrestleMania.
I would just give it to Nia.
Thank you.
That's where I would have
won. Liv or Nia would have made sense. The story with Rhea and the biggest story on the women's division on Raw is Liv Morgan and Nia Jax, both. Since Nia's been back, she's been great. Liv is the one that took Rhea out. She is a big-time star. Yeah, she has some work to do in the ring, but she's got it on the mic. She's got the look. She's got the personality. She can give you a solid 2 to 3 month reign. Again, these title reigns do not need to be a year. We could put the title on her, and she could drop it in May, and that's fine.
We probably should be thankful, though, that Becky won it, because had this happened a year or so ago, you know what would have got, right?
Ronda Rousey?
God damn it, Bill. Give it to Maxine.
You know what Becky said when she said to Maxine?
I did like that. I enjoyed that. That was nice.
Out. Loved it.
That was nice.
She deserves that. She deserves that.
Because I've been the one that was not very good at certain sports, and I've had people talk me up. So it's a good feeling.
Hey, good feeling.
We can't all be like, you know, A-plus at everything over here. Like,
Thoughts on the new WWE tag titles, Daryl, that Austin Theory and Grayson Waller are holding on SmackDown?
They are much more aesthetically pleasing.
Big time.
Then
you noticed
ones.
The reference to the 2002, the Attitude Era
I
tag
did like
titles.
That. That's why
love
I
like
them.
Love it. It's like that, but without color.
Yeah, there you go. They're just like straight up gold. But they look good.
Yeah.
The other ones, I don't hate the ones for Awesome Truth. It's just they look very like, hey, we're trying to sell a toy.
Yeah. It's
That's
very
my issue with them.
Plain. Yeah. Very plain, but I'm with it here. Shout out to Theory and Waller sticking up Triple H with that handshake.
Yeah.
Man, Triple H, boy, man, he had that look in his eye. He's like, man, do I pedigree this dude?
He's like, God, if this was 10 years ago.
If it was 10, God, if it was 5 years
ago. You don't even want to know Triple H from, if this was Triple H in 2006, you guys would have been
gone.
No, you would have been gone. There's no gone. Title reign for you.
We'd be breaking news.
Literally future
Austin
endeavored.
Theory, great, yeah. Easily. Easily. You'd like to follow up to Chad Gable's attack on Sami Zayn coming out with Alpha Academy?
I do, because I found it interesting how he basically bashed all three of them publicly like that one by one, and they still fell in line with him.
Because it's the coach, and that's why I love it.
Your coach is supposed to give you tough love. He's supposed to be tough on you. He doesn't coddle you.
Talking specifically storyline, because a lot of people compare Chad Gable and this to Team Angle and Kurt Angle.
Yes.
Specifically storyline. This makes more sense than Team Angle, because Chad Gable is actually playing the role of a coach, right? And because what did he say during this? What he said, you come to me to learn, which means criticism. That's how they took it.
Yeah.
And you have them help him for a while. A lot of people want the Creed brothers to get involved. I personally don't think the Creed brothers are ready for a spotlight like this yet.
Maybe that would help them, though.
I think you give it a few months of this, and when they fail to help Gable, that's when the Creed brothers come in to replace
them. I will say, to your point, you're absolutely correct about Team Angle, because honestly, what criticism was Kurt going to give Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Austin?
Exactly.
They were like awesome as hell.
From the very first match.
They were great.
From the very first match, they were spot on. Sheamus, Drew McIntyre going back and forth. Do you prefer these two as opponents, partners, or none of the above?
Like a weird mix. I want them to be frenemies, you know?
Frenemies. That's cool.
I was like, I really want a Whopper.
Yeah, man.
Because the burger after burger after burger thing was so good.
That sounds so good right
now.
I'm
like, that is, you know what sounds good right now?
Look, shout out. You knew the second Sheamus music hit, I knew Drew was going to take that shot because people
limes.
Suck.
Yeah.
We did not need to mention that Sheamus came back as James Harden with the Sixers. We did not need to bring that up at all.
In better shape than I ever been, so I ain't going to say anything. That man has the audacity and confidence to take his shirt off on live television. Get your bag, dude. I'm not gonna say nothing bad about
it. Right, but Drew had to take that shot. I don't know that I need this for too long. Obviously, Drew's got a great thing going with CM Punk. We've seen this a lot on both ends of it. At this point, they're on the same roster. They can acknowledge each other. Maybe get a match out of it.
At least for now.
Leave it
at
that.
It's a TV feud.
Leave it
because
at that.
Because you can easily not even Drew. He's in the CM Punk program long term. Sheamus can easily, depending on the draft too, can easily be put off somewhere else.
AJ Styles challenging Cody Rhodes at Backlash officially as we expected. How much does this spot help AJ, even if we don't expect him to win?
It actually helps him a lot because it shows that they see him as a credible challenger to Cody, and they're going to have a great match.
Yeah.
I mean, these two have a history together. AJ is one of those guys, like they talk about Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
He can have a match with a broomstick and make it look great.
100%.
I mean, it's just one of those dudes that, like, especially in someone in the ring as capable as Cody, it's going to be great.
Broomstick doesn't have arms, though.
Well, it's a lot of, you know.
Are you going to do a pedigree?
Surprisingly, the speed of a broomstick off the rope rivals Braun Breaker.
You know things? Wow.
I know things.
That's solid, dude. AJ Styles, this helps this version of AJ Styles. AJ, we know how great he is. He's kind of hung around WWE for a while. Yeah. Without doing much, and now it shows how important they see him.
He's had a pretty good run in WWE.
He's had it, but within the last year, he's kind of just
been
there. Oh,
you meant like overall.
No,
I was
not
like,
overall.
Did you watch since he's been there?
Have you paid attention?
When the man first showed up in the Royal Rumble, have you watched since then? He's had a pretty good run.
Within the last year, he's kind of just been hanging out. Gallows and Anderson came back.
Yes.
He's kind of just been there. This is a fantastic way to help Cody's title run look good, but also help AJ look formidable as a heel for whatever he's going to do for the rest of the year.
It also helps the crowd kind of get acclimated to Cody's first official championship defense.
Yes.
Where it's kind of like, because you see it online a lot, you hear from people, there's still kind of that shadow of Roman Reigns.
Yes.
Where people almost have like this weird Stockholm syndrome that they were complaining about how Roman Reigns had the championship for 3 years and they hated it. But now that he's not around and Cody has it, we kind of want Roman Reigns back. Yeah. It's like, can we give the man a chance
first? And thank you so much. As great as the Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga stuff is on SmackDown, thank you so much for Cody's first feud not involving the Bloodline.
Yes.
At all.
It's time to move away from that.
Please. Let's give a shout out to TNA. They had Rebellion over the weekend. Santana from AEW to TNA showed up. But Broken Matt Hardy back in TNA. How do you like this?
I am celebrating, one, I'm a fan of Matt Hardy.
Sure.
As much as off and on as he is in every company he's in. I love to see him be successful. He's got a great mind for the business. I love seeing TNA be successful.
Sure.
It's an easy joke to cap on them that they're the zombie that won't die, that won't like go back in the grave or whatever. It's just the zombie that won't die.
Wait a minute.
What I'm trying to say is they are a zombie that will not stop walking around. They're just there.
But are they going to die?
Well, no, because they're already dead.
Right. So what do you do?
Well, you ask them. They're still around.
I ask them?
Ask them. Ask TNA. Go ask everybody in there.
Finish your point.
My point is, hey, you asked, pal.
I did.
My point is, you knew the risk. My point is,
you knew what you were asking for.
You knew what you were getting into, all right? Don't ask me questions. My point is, I'm happy to see them have the continued success they have. Matt Hardy, especially. I love the broken gimmick. I don't know how far you go with it, though, at this point. That tickled you. Look at him. You're hysterical, dude. Calm down. We're trying to do a show.
Oh, man.
I think we should wrap it up here.
Are we done?
Are you?
I'm good.
You got tears in your eyes. It was a comment about a zombie, for God's sake.
I think Matt Hardy is going to go until he's a zombie. So I do appreciate broken Matt Hardy.
Okay,
listen. When they brought broken Matt Hardy over to work with Bray Wyatt, that comparison was a little right? Because yeah. Bray was so good at what he did. The broken character can be good, but man, it can be very cheesy.
Well, the broken character was good when it was left under the creative control of Matt Hardy.
Correct.
Once it got under the creative control of He Who Shall Not Be Named,
right.
It became He Who Shall Not Be Named's property, correct. And his ideas flowed through that, and it became, yeah. I don't know what the hell it was, but it wasn't what we liked in the first place.
Well, and Matt Hardy also mentioned he's still a free agent, which is interesting.
Yeah, there's no contract with them. He just showed up.
That's very interesting to see what they do in TNA. Remember, TNA works with WWE. Matt has been posting a lot about this Uncle Howdy stuff and Bray Wyatt stuff. Yeah. So a lot of people are like, is he involved in whatever this is with the QR codes?
He's going to be a surprise Royal Rumble entrant probably next year.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
but by
fine.
The way, so the QR, could you catch that on Raw?
I did. Well, I missed it live. Shout out to you to send it to me.
I sent you that picture that I snapped from the – but this is being done very well.
Very well.
Very creepy.
What adds to how creepy it is, because obviously before we knew it was Bray. Not saying this is better, but what adds to how creepy it is we don't know what the end goal is.
Yeah,
here.
We don't know what it's gonna look like.
Like we don't know what it's gonna look like. Is it a group? Is it just him? We genuinely don't know. Fun. A lot of fun. Royal Round the Ring is available every Wednesday. 101 WRIF's YouTube page, WRIF.com for our friends here in Detroit. He's that dude, Darrell Taylor. I'm Justin Valentine. We'll talk to you guys very soon.